time for the second edition of High School Football Live, the 3A High School Football Recap Show here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. The high school football season is off and rolling, and today we're going to recap everything that happened last night in week one. Of course, right here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m., the Emory Spartans were on the road. They took on the Summit Academy Bears. Emory falling short 20-7 in that contest. It was definitely an entertaining football game. Very entertaining. Emory was in it. Had a couple of established drives late in the contest. They were unable to score an offensive touchdown in that game. The lone score came on a 95-yard pick six from Colton Butler. His brother Kobe tips the pass. Colton comes down with it and takes it to the house for six. That's how the season gets rolling for the Emory Spartans. They fall 20-7 right here on KOAL. Also important to mention, you can go to KOALITV.com and follow Emory this year, all season long live video stream. That's what we've added as we up our high school football coverage right here on KOAL. Now, on the show today, we're going to talk to Coach Cole Meekum of the Manti Templars. Manti got off to a great start last night. Their first trip ever to Carbon County, believe it or not. Their first trip ever to Carbon County. It ended in a victory. They topped the Dinos 42-0. First-year quarterback Marshall Dotson, who's a senior, but he's never played quarterback, he led Manti in a big way. So Coach Cole Meekum will join us on the show coming up in just a bit, here in a minute actually, about 5 minutes out. And we're also going to talk to Coach John Colosmo. Coach Colosmo, head coach of the Juan Diego Soarin' Eagles, the defending 3A state champions. They started the season off with a loss last night against 5A West Jordan. May have been one of the most entertaining games of the night throughout the state. 32-25 was the final score. Zach Hoffman, quarterback for Juan Diego, throws an interception with under 3 minutes to go, which seals the deal for West Jordan. Juan Diego entered the fourth quarter holding the lead, but they ran out of gas. Difference between a 5A, 3A school, it's depth. West Jordan had the depth, and they end up getting the victory over Juan Diego. And then we'll recap everything happening in the 3A North and 3A South and get you set up for this upcoming Friday, which is just 6 days away. Week one of the high school football season is in the books. And again, Manti coach Cole Meekum and Juan Diego coach John Colosmo will join us on the show when we return here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m. Welcome back to the 3A High School Football Recap presented by Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m. It's great to have high school football back. Can't stress that enough. Last night, beautiful night for football pretty much throughout the entire state. And we had some fantastic games that we're going to continue to go over. Believe it or not, it was the first time ever that the Manti Templars traveled to Carbon County to take on the Dinos. The two teams opened up the season against one another last year. That played into Manti's favor. Last night, much of the same. The Templars rout the Dinos 42-0. Manti puts up 14 in the first, 14 in the second, 14 in the fourth to grab the victory, sending Carbon to an 0-1 start. And Manti looking as poised as ever. First-year quarterback Marshall Dotson, who's a senior, played very, very well. We're going to talk about Marshall Dotson and, of course, Max Stevens, who may be one of the biggest names on the Manti team. A lot of people have their eyes on Max Stevens this season, and he was fantastic last night as well. Joining us over the phone to talk a bit about that, we have head football coach Cole Meekum. Coach, welcome to the show. We appreciate the time today.
Thanks for giving us me.
Definitely. Absolutely. Coach, you guys opened up the season last night. It was your first ever trip to Carbon High School, which is just mind-boggling that Manti has never traveled to Carbon. But for the second consecutive year, you guys open up the season against the Dinos, and it works out in your favor 42-0.
Yeah, that was it is kind of crazy that being as close as we are, we've never played. We got them last night. Kids overall played pretty good for the first game.
That's always the big question. What's the team going to look like in the first game? You know, talking to some other coaches from around the state, how do you approach the non-region season, Coach? Is it just like a region game, or do you try a couple of different things, especially in the first game?
We try to get some film of kids that we're looking at different positions, try to get enough film on them that we can evaluate them in a game situation, not just in practice. And we, as far as offensively, defensively, we don't change a lot around, but we want to come out and see if we can execute what we've been working on in a game situation.
Well, you guys score 14 points early in the contest. You have a commanding lead over Carbon by the time we reach halftime, 28-0. Second half, you guys put up 14 more points. It just seems like it was kind of cruise control in the second half. Or was Carbon, were they more of a game opponent in the third quarter last night?
Third quarter, they came out and they played a solid for a little bit of the third quarter. And then we did have a turnover in the third quarter that slowed us down.
The question amongst other media members that I was, you know, I had talked to throughout the week was Marshall Dotson, being a kid who had never played the quarterback position, stepping in. It's a senior, so it's not as if, you know, you have a sophomore quarterback like Carbon does with Noah Jones. You guys have a senior that stepped in, played quarterback for the first time. Talk about his performance.
Marshall did a great job. Made great decisions. We threw the ball, I believe, about four or five times. And he completed, he had, I believe, two incomplete passes, had one called back on a penalty. We called a couple more pass plays, and he made great decisions on just tucking the ball and running it, didn't have anybody open. He did a great job for the first night coming out.
What was it that gave you the idea to insert Marshall as your guys' quarterback for this season?
We just felt like he was a great leader. He works his tail off. Really, really coachable. He does what he's asked, and we felt like he was somebody that the other kids would rally around.
Is that a good gauge for how often we can expect to see him throw the football this year? Are you looking around 5, 6, 7 times a game?
Generally, that's kind of what we like to do. We don't like to go air the ball out. We like to throw it to open things up, but if we keep that high percentage, that's what we want.
Well, we'll stick with this game. Last night, no one surprised Max Stevens once again doing good things for you guys. Everyone that I've talked to around the state expects big things from this kid. Everybody knows that he's a true player.
He is. You know, he's Max solid out of the backfield, He's also a real good receiver.
How many players do you have on this team, Coach, that you feel are true game changers offensively?
I think we've got probably as much versatility as we've had in a long time. We've got three kids that can carry the ball out of the backfield. And we've got one of those plays backfield and our speed back spot, and then four speed backs in Marshall.
So it seems like the Manti rushing attack should definitely have a lot of different looks for opposing teams this year.
Yeah, we hope so. We hope we can mix things up enough to keep people from keying on one guy.
Again, our coach right now is Manti head football coach Cole Meekham. Coach, I want to talk about the defense. You guys shut out Carbon last night. Never a bad thing when you start the season off with a shutout. No less, it's on the road as well. So, I mean, obviously a big boost for your defense after week one.
Defensively, we played pretty good.
No, he's on the phone right now.
Oh, lost my train of thought there. We came out in a little bit different, doing some things differently on defense than we have been, and the kids have picked up on done a good job.
Let's take a look at the 3A South, why I got you on the phone here, Coach, and kind of go over it. Last week we had a preview of the 3A South. It looks like it's going to be a very competitive division. A lot of people would peg JUAB as the team to beat, Manti right behind them. Last night, Canyon View, Delta, North St. Pete, Ridgeville, they all suffer a loss. But, I mean, really, how much can you gauge where this division is after only 1 week of non-region play, or can you at all?
I don't think you really can. We play Carbon. They're struggling a little bit. I can't even think off the top of my head who they all played. Ridgefield played Ben Lomond, a bigger school. Canyon U plays Beaver, and Beaver brings back a lot of kids from a great team last year. So I don't think off, without seeing how they played and what they did, just off the one loss last night, I don't think, that tells a lot of what's going to happen this season.
Looking at the returners, I mean, is it fair to say that JUAB may be the team to beat in the South?
I think so. I think JUAB is, you know, they're solid. They've got a great program, and I think you can tell, you know, they're the region champs last year. I think you can tell somebody comes and knocks them off, they're the one to beat.
If we fast forward, we take a look at next week, you guys will play host to Juan Diego. That looks like a very good football team. Last night, they were in a battle with West Jordan. Anytime you can go toe-to-toe with a team like that, you know that you have a lot of talent. It's always difficult to know what these academy schools will have because, I mean, they could rebuild instantly in one offseason. You could have, you know, a whole set of seniors come in each particular season. But this could definitely be a good gauge for you guys going into next Friday.
Yeah, you know, we feel like Juan Diego is always going to have a solid team, and you know, we want to go out and compete, and you know, we've already talked to the kids about, you know, this is it's been a good rivalry, and it's gonna tell us how we are, I'm sure we'll find some things that we need to work on.
You guys have two matchups this year against the Cross Region, the 3A North. You'll get Juan Diego next week and then Emory in just a few weeks down the road. All in all, I'm sure you like playing these 3A North squads. It gives you guys kind of a gauge of what you'll be looking at come state tournament time. I'm sure you look ahead even that far, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. Yeah, you know, as we put our preseason schedule together, that's, you know, one of the things that we look at. You look at them, and, you know, so if we do happen to see them down the road in the playoffs, you know, maybe we know what may work and what may not work with them.
Well, Coach, definitely a stellar way to start off the 2016 season, a 42-0 win over Carbon High School. One of the more unique settings as far as 3A high school football goes. What did you make of the field and kind of the location of Carbon High School's field being there for the first time?
I really liked it. You know, they've got the terraces. Where, you know, fans can come set up chairs and sit on the grass to watch the game, and it's a nice facility. It was fun to play there.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's always unique. Last question before I let you go, Coach. Going into a brand new week of practice, what's the schedule look like for the Manti Templars? Do you go at it as hard as you possibly can on Monday? Do you give the kids a little bit of a break? What's the schedule like for Manti?
Generally, Monday's kind of a learning day. We try to fix the things. You know, go over the things that we made mistakes on the week before. Give them a little idea of what offensively and defensively we're going to be seeing, and then we generally condition them pretty good on Monday.
Well, Coach, again, congratulations on starting off the season 1-0 with the victory over Carbon last night, and hopefully we'll be able to talk again real soon.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Coach Cole Meekum of the Manti Templars taking out the time to join us here on our 3A High School Football Recap Show. Again, Manti taking it to Carbon last night, 42-0. Manti may have their hands full next week. They'll take on Juan Diego, a team that battled tough last night against 5A West Jordan, falling 32-25 and basically coming up short on the final drive of the game. Juan Diego held a lead over West Jordan going into the fourth quarter. Hopefully we'll catch up with Coach John Colosmo when we return, head coach of the defending 3A state champs, Juan Diego. That's coming up next, right here on the 3A High School Football Recap Show. Back here on the 3A High School Football Recap Show, last segment we talked to Manti football coach Cole Meekum. Now, Manti got a win over Carbon last night. They'll look to improve to 2-0 when they take on the defending 3A state champs next week in Juan Diego. And we actually have Juan Diego football coach John Colosmo joining us right now over the phone. Juan Diego last night suffering a 32-25 setback to 5A West Jordan in a very thrilling game. May have been one of the best games involving a 3A team last night. Coach, I do appreciate you taking out the time to join us today. Thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure.
Coach, you guys start off the season last night, home contest against 5A West Jordan. Love the fact that we have a 3A school from this classification going up against a 5A team. Last year it worked out for you guys. Last night, 32-25 setback. But all in all, a very exciting football game. Great way to kick off the season, nonetheless, at least for the spectators.
Yeah, it was a great game. You know, I think both teams are, you know, typical first game. You make mistakes and you know, some things hurt you and some things helped you, but I was pleased with our effort last night. We played hard. It was, you know, it was a hot, humid night, and both sides suffered a little bit from the heat and some cramps and things. But it was an exciting football game. Went back and forth. We had an opportunity at the end to tie it up, and just fell short.
Yeah, with about 3 minutes to go in the game, you guys are down by seven. You have the ball, and interception kind of seals the deal. But to be put in a situation like that in a non-region game, I mean, is that something that a coach wants, you know, to have your players up against the wall, kind of have to go to a two-minute drill late in the contest to try to you know, pull the game out? That's what non-region's all about, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the purpose of all those non-region games certainly are to prepare you for any situation that comes up, especially during region. So, you know, we wanted to be in a tight, close football game, be able to see how we handle ourselves and see if we can play through all the adversity. So, you know, it was a good opener for us. And even though we lost it, I think we will learn a lot from it. And I told the boys that, you know, if we don't learn from it, then the loss is worse. But I think our kids will rise to the occasion, and we'll make some mistakes, watch some film this morning, and be able to make some adjustments.
You guys go up against a 5A school. How comparable is West Jordan? You know, sometimes I know a lot of the numbers they can get. A 5A team doesn't necessarily look like a 5A team. It's like a 3A team doesn't necessarily look like a 3A team. When comparing West Jordan to what you guys will see this year, I mean, how is it comparable, if at all?
Well, you know, obviously they have more numbers, more kids. You know, they played very few kids, if any, both ways. You know, most of our kids are two-way kids playing both ways. And so, you know, I thought we matched up, you know, fairly well with our first group. But you know, we got a little worn down, I think, as the game went on. And, you know, they just had more bodies, fresh bodies. And, you know, that was a difference. So, you know, I think that's the reason for the classifications, that, you know, the numbers certainly, you know, make a difference.
Let's talk a little bit about some individuals in this game for you guys. 33-yard touchdown pass to get things rolling. Zach Hoffman at quarterback, Finestone, Zarkon. I mean, it seems like Stone is going to be a guy that you're going to rely on a lot offensively. He had a fantastic night for you guys.
Yeah, that's Stone's. Yeah, Stone, you know, played very well for us. You know, both sides of the ball. He's one of those kids that we've got to rely on both sides, and, you know, had a great night rushing the football, and then, you know, had a turnover, and we manned him up a lot against their best receiver, and he was just outstanding for us last night.
Let's talk about your quarterback play here in Zach Hoffman. How did you assess the way he took the field last night and his performance?
Yeah, you know, Hoffman, you know, converted wide receiver, you know, hasn't played quarterback for us, and but we just felt throughout the summer that he was stepping up and was able to you know, secure that quarterback spot. So you know, just an athlete there, did a fine job for us. We didn't throw the ball a whole lot, but you know, he was pretty accurate. And you know, sometimes it's not just the quarterback that has to make plays. Some of our receivers need to step it up, but we dropped a couple of passes that were crucial, and we just got to, you know, focus more and be able to make those receptions.
You talk about Zach being a converted wide receiver. I mean, is that the most seamless transition for a player that's kind of an implant at quarterback? I mean, if you take somebody from the wideout spot?
Well, you know, it's a tough transition because, you know, as a wide receiver, you have your responsibility and pretty much you do your job. Whereas quarterback is responsible for the whole offense, you need to know where everybody's doing, what each position does, reasons for it. So, you know, it's a steep learning curve for him, and I think he did a great job throughout the summer being able to pick a lot of those things up. And, you know, I was very pleased with his effort last night, and he's only going to get better.
Yeah, definitely. Again, our guest right now is Juan Diego football coach John Colosmo as we talk about last night's game. Coach, with all that being said, you guys enter the defending 3A state champions. Is it a little bit different feel going into the season when you are the defending state champion? I mean, obviously that target on your back is a little bit bigger.
Well, you know, this is a different season, different set of kids. And, you know, we certainly were very fortunate last year to win the state title and, you know, played some very good teams last year and on our way to winning that. And, you know, it's an exciting moment. But this is a different team with almost a new set of kids. You know, very few returning kids coming back. And So we don't focus on championships. We focus on the process and trying to be a better football team. And that's what we'll talk about this morning. How are we going to be better next week? How are we going to step our game up and try to be a better football team? And we'll focus on that throughout the season and let the chips fall where they may. Certainly, we'd like to get back there again. And if we're good enough to do that, great. If not, then we just want to try to be, do the best you possibly can, be a good football team, and do it all, have some fun. I mean, it's a game, and, I think our kids walked out of tired, beat, but they have smiles on their face because it was fun.
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing it, and that's the purpose of high school football, to learn something about yourself and as a football player and as a young man and to have some fun out there. And I think our kids had fun last night, even though it was a disappointing loss and it was tough and they had to fight through adversity. You know, I think if you ask them all this morning and say, yeah, I wouldn't pass it up for anything in the world. And that's our mantra as we go through the season. Let's play hard. Let's be the best football team we can be.
Last segment, Coach, we talked to Cole Meekum of the Manti Templars. You guys will see Manti next week. Traditionally, that's a very good football program. I love the 3A North, 3A South matchups in non-league play. I mean, I definitely enjoy watching those and going over the numbers from those. That's going to be a fun game, and definitely that's a great gauge for where both teams will be going into week two. I mean, going up against a team that is traditionally very good.
Oh, I love playing Manti, no doubt about that. I mean, one thing I know, they're going to be ready for us, and they're going to play hard, and they'll give us a battle, and we'll give them a battle. I think we have a lot of mutual respect for each other. We've played each other a number of times, and it's always a back-and-forth affair. And Coach Meekum always has them ready to go, and he's a tremendous coach. And we're just really – those are the kind of games I like to play. I like to play those kind of games where the teams are hard-nosed and tough, and they come out with a lot of class, and that's always the case against Manti. And, we're looking forward to playing those guys next week. And, yeah, it'll be a good barometer for where we're at. They had a big win last night, and, even though Carbon's a little down right now, you put 42 points up on the board. That's a pretty good effort. So we're going to have our challenges defensively, and they always defend us well, so we're going to have to be a little bit creative in what we do offensively against them. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it. So it's going to be a fun matchup for us.
Before I let you go, Coach, I definitely want to get your evaluation of the 3A North, the division that you guys won last season. Front to back, do you pay attention to the North and how some of the teams are performing, even though it is the non-league season, or are you kind of just focused on Juan Diego at the moment?
Well, both. I mean, we certainly get on the computer, and try to look at how our region did last night, and see what the developments are and what teams are doing well and how they fared against their opponents. I don't think anybody in our region last night win. I think Grantsville won last night.
Right.
And then I was surprised to see Morgan lose, not score any points last night. That surprised me. And so we're not only looking at the 3A North, we look at the 3A South as well. And just kind of get a feel of what the classification looks like, and we'll look at that throughout the year. And obviously, we'll focus on Manti this week, but we want to know what everybody in our region and in our classification is doing, and how they fared against their opponents. And then obviously, we're going to focus on ourselves throughout practice each week, and then our next opponent. And that's kind of how we approach things.
Who are the teams in the 3A North that, when you look at on the schedule, you kind of shake your head? Who's that one team or a couple of teams that you know every time you play them, it's going to be a hard fought contest?
Well, obviously Morgan. I think Morgan has proved over the years to be a very good program. Coach up there does a fine job, and another great guy and a classy program, and he'll have them ready to play against us. So we'll have to look at Morgan, and then, I really like the Union team, and Coach up there as well has really brought that team around. They've been competitive, since he's been there, and I think he's had some struggles there, but I think he's righted the ship a little bit. Grantsville, they had a down year last year, but I think that was an anomaly. They're usually pretty fierce, and they come at you, and they don't back down. So I think that's a good program. Emory, you know, they had a fine squad last year, a lot of kids back. I think they'll be formidable this year. Carbon's struggling a little bit, you know, it's been tough. They've had a number of coaching changes over the last few years, so that hasn't bode well for them. So, you know, each team presents challenges, and we'll just try to rise to the occasion each and every week. But right now, our focus is on Manti, and we'll see how that goes, because that'll be a good barometer for us and how we stack up with the rest of 3A.
Definitely. Well, Coach, I do appreciate you taking out the time for us this morning. Best of luck next week against Manti, and hopefully we can get you on again soon.
Yeah, I'll try to get this phone fixed this week, and we'll have a better interview. So sorry about the connection, but I was glad to be able to talk with you.
Yeah, no problem at all, Coach. And, I'll get back with you in a couple of weeks. It'd be great to get you back on.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much, and look forward to speaking to you again.
All right, thanks, Coach. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
That's John Colosmo, head coach of the Juan Diego Soarin' Eagles, the defending 3A state champs, talking about their 32-25 loss last night to West Jordan. Again, Juan Diego will go toe-to-toe with Manti next week in a 3A North, 3A South battle. We're going to pause for just a moment. We have more coming up here on our 3A High School Football Recap Show on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. Welcome back to High School Football Live here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. This is the 3A High School Football Recap Show, and we got off and running last night. We've talked to two coaches so far, Coach John Colosmo of the Juan Diego Soarin Eagles, and also we talked to Coach Cole Meekum of the Manti Templars. Now, the way things played out last night, it wasn't a very good night for the 3A North. All but one team suffered a loss. Grantsville was the lone team to get a victory last night, and that was a classic defensive battle going toe-to-toe with Cypress. Grantsville grabbed a 7-6 win. Cypress kicked two field goals in this game. That's something you just don't see too often. Andrew Floyd had a 40-yard third-quarter touchdown for Grantsville, and that was enough to get them the victory. Cypress led at the end of the first quarter 3-0. They led at halftime 6-0. Jorge Ramirez kick through two field goals. That's the kind of football I love. I love seeing a 7-6 game. I was talking about Emory and Summit Academy, which we're going to get into that game in just a minute. But when I see a 7-6 score, I love it. I don't particularly care for 55-50 games. A lot of people do. 7-6, I can get behind that. But again, Andrew Floyd rushing for a 40-yard touchdown last night for Grantsville in the third quarter. That was enough to give the Cowboys the victory. So they are 1-0 on the season so far. You take a look at the remainder of the 3A North. I mean, it was a tough outing last night for the Spartans. We talked a bit about this at the beginning of the show. Emory just could not get anything moving offensively last night. Logan Cox was the bright spot for the team. He went for 98 yards. He was 2 yards away from the century mark. Zach Jorgensen proved late that he could throw the football. Emory played a lot better in the second half. A lot better. This was a team that got off to a slow start. It was 7-0 Summit Academy immediately. Emory had the ball. They took it downfield. The drive stalled. First play from scrimmage. Boom. Summit Academy. Isaac Hamilton finds receiver right across the center of the field. I was talking to the coaching staff last night. They said they planned that play in June. That was the play that they knew they were going to run to start the season off, and it worked. So Summit Academy's up 7-0. They get the ball back. They score again. It's 14-0. Summit Academy has the ball once again. They get into the red zone, and Isaac Hamilton, who's a standout quarterback for Summit Academy, this kid can flat-out play. On about the 5 or 6 yard line, takes a snap, rolls to his left, throws. Kobe Butler, senior defensive end for Emory, swats one of his 3 swats last night from the line of scrimmage. Ball floats in the air. Colton Butler, his brother, picks it off, takes it back to the house. That's how Emory scored. The third and fourth quarter, it was really interesting. Emory played the majority of that game, the majority of the second half, rather, on Summit Academy's side of the field. Just could not finish off a drive, and the Spartans fall 20-7 in that game. Again, follow Emory all year long right here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM and KOALITV.com. We talked about Juan Diego coming up short against West Jordan last night. The Morgan Trojans, they suffer a loss. They did not score any points. They were blanked by Bear River. We were just talking to Coach John Colosmo of Juan Diego last segment. He said that definitely surprised him that Morgan was shut out. No points. It was 7-0 at halftime, 14-0 entering the fourth quarter, and Morgan was unable to get anything rolling. Gunnar Sorensen connected on a 49-yard touchdown pass to Kagan Canfield for Bear River to put him up 7-0 early in the first quarter, and then Brack Stokes had a 9-yard pass again from Kagan Canfield in the third quarter to make it 14-0. Morgan just could not get anything rolling, and the Trojans are going to be a team, I'm going to say the team of unknown in the 3A North. Everybody expects them to compete with Juan Diego. Last year, they got not one but two cracks at Juan Diego, lost on both occasions, but they were both really good games. Kind of a rebuilding season for Morgan. I think they're a good, it's a fantastic program, and you can't sleep on Morgan. A lot of people would predict them, for them to finish second in the region just behind Juan Diego. I just don't know what to make of the Morgan Trojans this year. Last night, they were shut out by Bear River again, 14-0. Then we had the Union Cougars falling to Park City 34-0. So another team in the 3A North shut out. Park City took advantage of two Union turnovers early to score two touchdowns. Spencer Zur threw for three scores, and the Miners just coasted past Union for a 34-0 win. And so Union will look to get back on track next week as well. We talked about Carbon already, so that's the 3A North. It definitely was not a good outing for them last night. They are 1-5 going into week two. Now, the 3A South, not a whole lot better. They finished 2-4 last night. Juab got the victory, and again, Juab picked to be the cream of the crop in the 3A South. They take it to Millard last night, 42-7. A lot of positives for Juab in this game. 35-0 at halftime. So the mercy rule was in effect from the get-go in the second half. They had 7 in the third and then coasted in the fourth, the scoreless fourth. But the Wasps really took it to Miller defensively. Riker Osborne had 3 touchdown passes for Juab. And again, this is a team that you can expect big things from based on the amount of returners. Dakota Snow had a 14-yard touchdown pass. Preston White caught a 26-yard pass from Osborne for a score. Max Gurney, who's going to get a lot of carries on the ground, had a 44-yard run. Even the Juab defense got in on the action last night. Alex White had a 35-yard interception return for a touchdown. Austin Ellsmore caught a 5-yard pass from Riker Osborne as well. Colton Wright had a 9-yard run from inside the red zone to tack on another score for Juab. Then Millard added one score in the third quarter. That was an 80-yard pass, but at that point in time, again, the mercy rule was in effect. So Riker Osborne, that's a great way to start off the season. He has 3 touchdown passes for Juab. Again, they are the projected favorites in the 3A South, and they take care of Millard last night in a big way, 42-7. And Manti logged the other wins. So out of all 12 3A squads last night, we have Grantsville, Juab, and Manti, the only three teams that picked up a win. Manti defeating a 3A squad in Carbon 42-0. Canyon View losing in fairly lopsided fashion, 41-14. Not a lot of people high on Canyon View this season. We'll see if they can put it together. 41-14. It was a battle at halftime. 21-14. Beaver held a 7-point lead. That's a good football team in Beaver as well. Second half belonged to the Beavers. They scored 13 on the third. They scored 7 in the fourth to cap off an impressive opening night victory. Isaiah Shearer scored 2 touchdowns for Canyon View on the ground last night, 2 rushing touchdowns, scoring both of them in the second quarter, 1 from 5 yards out and 1 from 6. So again, Canyon View falling last night, dropping to 0-1 on the season. We take a look at some of the other scores from the 3A South. Delta shut out last night, 24-0. This one coming at the hands of Salem Hills, so Delta playing a classification above them. It was tied 0-0 at the end of the first quarter. Salem Hills put up 14 in the second. They put up 10 in the third. Rough outing for the Delta Rabbits. That's a team a lot of people expect to be much improved this season, but they did not score a single point last night in their opening night loss. North St. Pete under first-year head coach Rhett Bird falling in their opener last night, 34-13 to Tooele, again playing a classification above them. It was 21-7 at halftime. Second half, again, it just belonged to Tooele. They grabbed the 34-13 victory. For North St. Pete, Holden Atkinson got a touchdown pass, and Sean Taylor caught a 50-yard touchdown pass. Those were the two scores for North St. Pete in their opener last night. And then also in the 3A classification, Richfield suffering a loss 40-17. The Wildcats are a team I expect to be a lot better than they were last year. They lost to Ben Lomond. That's a team that is on carbon schedule. Ben Lomond scores 40 on them. It was 20-9 at halftime, and then Ben Lomond exploded, scored 20 in the third quarter to break that game open. For Richfield, they received a solid effort from Emmett Hafen. He had 17 carries for 78 yards. And Evan Jerome had 7 carries for 19 yards to lead Richfield. Emmett Hafen, quarterback for the team as well. He was 17 of 27, 211 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. So not a bad outing for Richfield. I think there's some positives there. Evan Jerome had 76 yards receiving and a touchdown. Again, he had 4 catches. And then also Taysen Licordi had a touchdown off of 3 catches and 61 yards as well. So solid outing for several teams in the 3A. However, things didn't go quite well. Well, the 3A last night finishing with just 3 victories. And again, you had a couple of 3A teams going toe-to-toe. We're going to pause once again. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of High School Football Live here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. When we come back, we'll preview next week's schedule. Back to put the final touches on this second edition of High School Football Live here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. I enjoy being along with you on Saturday morning. There's nothing like high school football. I love it. Last night at Summit Academy in Bluffdale, we were sitting on top of the broadcast booth, myself along with Chris Winfrey, who's going to join me in the booth all season long. And it was a beautiful night. We're outside. We had high school football. Great environment. You had folks from Emory and Summit Academy up on top of the booth with us. It was just a fantastic night. Let's take a look at the schedule for the 3A North going into week 2. Grantsville will look to make it 2-0 as they continue what will be a 3-game road trip to open up the season. They'll be at Tooele. That'll be on Friday, 7 o'clock kickoff there. The following week, they will be on the road against Stansbury. So that's the schedule for Grantsville. Again, they earned a victory in week 1. We'll see if they can make it 2 straight. Carbon will be on the road next week to take on Ben Lomond. All games will be scheduled for a 7 o'clock kickoff for all teams this year. That game at Ben Lomond, it'll be a 7 p.m. start time, of course, and then they'll take on Snow Canyon in the following week. So the Dinos will look to get a victory next week, again against Ben Lomond on the road. The Emory Spartans, they'll travel on the road as well to take on Payson. Emory 0-1 right now, looking to get their first win under head coach John Famalo. Juan Diego goes toe-to-toe with Manti next week. I'm really interested in that matchup. Great gauge for a team like Manti who's trying to climb back and get into the conversation talk for a 3A state championship. And, of course, we had both Coach Meekum and Coach Klosmo on the show. That game next Friday, Morgan will look for their first win of the year. They will play host to South Summit. After opening up on the road against Bear River, they'll bring in South Summit. And then Union, the Cougars, blasted last night. They'll look to try to get a victory as they play host to Summit Academy, a team that looked very good last night against Emory. They have some athletes. Isaac Hamilton, I'll say this. I think Isaac Hamilton will be the best quarterback that any team from the 3A classification will see. Riker Osborne looks really good for JUAB, but Isaac Hamilton is a solid specimen physically. Looked fantastic last night. He could definitely give Union some problems, no doubt. And I believe Hamilton has a couple of offers from some colleges from around the state of Utah, including Dixie. JUAB out of the 3A South, they'll look to make it 2-0. They'll take on Star Valley, Wyoming. They're going to go on the road for that game. That'll be next Friday. I know nothing about anything in Wyoming as far as high school football goes, so we'll keep our eyes glued and see what JUAB does next week when they travel on the road to Wyoming. That's kind of a rare thing. You don't see that too often. We talked about Manti. They'll take on Juan Diego. Canyon View will look to get back on the right track. They'll take on Hurricane. That will be in Canyon View. The Falcons playing a classification up. So they play 2A Beaver this week. They're going to go to 3AA Hurricane or play 3AA Hurricane next week. And then we get Delta looking again for their first victory. They did not score against Salem Hills. They'll play host to Millard, and that will be Friday night as well. And then also North St. Pete looking for their first win under first-year head coach Rhett Bird. They'll play host to Timpanogos, and then they'll travel on the road to go to Maple Mountain in the following week. And the last team from the 3A South, Richfield, who had some positives last night, to say the least. They'll travel on the road to take on South Sevier. That's the schedule for week two of the high school football 3A schedule. We are just about out of time on the show today. Make sure you come back. Join us again Saturday at 11 a.m. right here. We'll recap week two of the high school football season. We get 10 regular season weeks before we go into the postseason. I'm Jordan Buscarini. I will catch you Monday with KOAL's Drive Time Sports. And again, we'll continue the high school talk there, not just high school football. It's everything high school here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m.